This is Paul writing to the church in Philippi. He says, I'm going to start with chapter 4, verse 6, which is what I preached last week, but I'm going to go a little bit further. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And then these are the passages I'm going to preach from today, verses 8 and 9. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. One final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all that you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, and then the God of peace will be with you. Lord, I just ask you by your Spirit to let your word come alive in each of our hearts and lives today. And Father, may we leave here changed and our thoughts more aligned with your word. Give us biblical understanding of what our first thoughts should be. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And change is all around us. Earlier this week when I was working on the intro part of this message, change was where I was starting with, and then it ended up becoming quite the reality. But I'm thankful that change is around. You know, some of you work for the Department of Transportation, and change happens, right, Sue Ann? The DOT, they look at patterns, and they look at growth, and they make all of these assessments, and they do all of this understanding, and they realize, and they listen to the people, and they realize, you know what, we need to put a bypass around this city or what have you. And so the DOT is constantly going through this process, and they change things. And sometimes there used to be a four-way stop there, and now there's a red light. So things change. Do we understand that? The government is always changing things on us. No comment. It just happens, right? Education. My wife is an educator, and so change is a very much a reality for her. And I would say a daily thing, but it's definitely at least a yearly thing because there's never mind. Education is a constantly changing. Medicine, I'm thankful for change in medicine. I'm thankful for medicines which can help reduce blood pressure, help with cholesterol, help with seizures. I'm thankful for medicines that keep us alive. I'm thankful for the God who uses medicine to help us. I'm thankful for knee replacement surgeries for my grandmother. Isn't it awesome what the Lord can use? I'm just thankful. Change isn't going to slow down. Is it going to speed up? Yeah, it probably will. It's the easiest thing to do, though, is to change your mind. And I've used this illustration before. You get mad at your spouse. Well, then just change your mind. Don't be mad. It's really that easy if we allow it to be. I don't like olives. I can't help you there. I don't know if you can change your mind about olives or not. There are some olives that I don't like. But the easiest thing that we can do is change our mind, and change is reflected in our life. Everything I think about, you know, my life changed when Patrice came to Emmanuel College. And the very first day, I swept her off her feet. I got to make this work. Got to make it sound good, right? It's not too good. I think she says I was literally the first guy that walked out. I don't really know if I was the first guy, but it was the first day when she was a freshman coming into Manual, and I was a sophomore, and I've told this story, so I won't rehash it. But my life changed because of Patrice. And then my life changed again when I met her family. And then my life changed again when we got married, actually when we got engaged. And then my life changed again when we got married. And then my life really changed when we started having children. Amen. And so all of these changes that have happened in my life, and I just look back and I'm just, I did a little, on New Year's Eve, we were sitting at my sister-in-law's house, and it was really neat because we've, for the past few years, we've spent New Year's Eve with friends, and we were out of town, and I just kind of wanted to be with some family. And so we were there, and I don't know how y'all are, but y'all have heard me, you know I'm on Facebook. So I went all the way back to January, and I just started looking at all of the things that I had experienced in 2013. Trips out of the country and opportunities to meet people and just deepen some relationships that I need in my life. Missions, the opportunity to move to Mountain Gap. June 22nd, I think, is what the day was when we loaded up the trucks and we moved to Beverly. And all of these changes that happen, I just look back and I'm like, Lord, thank you so much for your strength. Thank you for your peace. And then I think about this congregation and the changes that you guys went through. And this time a year ago, you know, your pastor was, Pastor Ryan was gone. And I love that guy, and I know you guys love him. And his handprints, his fingerprints are still in a lot of areas. I appreciated Ben sharing what he shared this morning. That's a great statement. If it'll preach, sing it. I love that. There's truth in that. Because I've been in some churches. Anyways, never mind. I love that if it'll preach, we'll sing it. So I'm thankful for all of these changes. And I just look back and I say, Lord, thank you for your grace and your hand that's been on Mountain Gap and the way you loved them through it, the way you gave them peace. And I know there were some tough days there, but we made it through. And I'm thankful for where the Lord has us. And then we go and we move the sanctuary over here for a few weeks. The process of change. I think that I have taken the approach in being a parent. And this has been my approach, and you do have to believe me because it's true. This has been my approach. I love every season of my children's life. The terrible twos, I loved it. The teenager years, I love it. Someone in my house has a birthday a week from today. I'm not allowed to say her name, but she'll be a teenager. I didn't say anything. Didn't call her name. And she'll be a teenager, and I'm going into that, and I'm excited about it. I absolutely am thrilled about it. Because I know she's not going to get married until she's 30. So that's all. We're good, right? Scripture talks about change. Change is biblical. I'm talking about change because I want to talk about our thoughts. Change is ultimately reflected in our choices, and our choices begin with a thought. Scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I think it is, Paul talks about moving from glory to glory. That's change. Paul writes to the Roman church in Romans chapter 1, he says, faith to faith. And then in the Psalms, it talks about moving from strength to strength. See, there's change all throughout Scripture. I married Patrice because I made a choice. And because I made a choice, I made a change. But before I made a change, and before I made a choice, there was a thought. And so this first month of this year, I'm talking about first things. And this morning, I want to talk about our first thoughts. What are the things that we think about first? Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. I'm going to read it again from the NIV. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done, and then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So I talked about that last week, and those two verses, they talk about how to get God's peace. This week, I want to talk about, when we're talking about our thoughts, I want to talk about how we keep God's peace. So last week was getting God's peace, which is don't worry, pray, rejoice, tell God what you need. His peace will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This week, let's talk about it. Let's look at it. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there is anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. And then I love what Paul says in chapter 4, verse 9. He says, whatever you have learned from me or received from me or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the peace of God will be with you. Too often, wrong thinking leads to wrongdoing. And so I want to challenge us this morning to begin to rein in our first thoughts. When we wake up in the morning, what is the first thing we think about? When we hear maybe a bad report, what is the first thing that we think about? Because last week I hit this, and I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know why I said that. Last week, I'm going to stop saying that because I don't ever want to lie to you. But last week I had several people come to me afterwards and they said, you know, that anxiety thing you were talking about, that's real. And we talked about anxiety last week and it is real. And a lot of it has to do with our thoughts because our thoughts, they immediately go toward negative or they go toward worry or they go toward something that is ungodly. And Paul is writing here and he's trying to help us understand the things that we think about first, that's really important to what we do afterwards. Because our doing is always a series of reflections that come out of our thoughts. We have a thought, we make a choice, we make a change, we do. We have a thought, we make a choice, we make a change. I have a thought, I make a choice. What am I going to do with it? Thoughts are powerful. Thoughts are, and sometimes what we have to do is we have to unlearn some things. We have to get out of some things. Getting into things is new, right? Have you ever signed up for a new cell phone contract? Easy. You ever tried to get out of an old one? Come on. It's hard. Just went through it. So sometimes we have to unlearn. We have to get out of some things. We have to take the thinking that we used to have about something and we have to rewire it. You know, if there is a behavior problem in my wife's not in the classroom right now, but if she's a teacher and she's in the classroom and she has a student who's, you know, just saying ugly things, okay? Well, we can teach the student, okay, you don't say that. But if we can help the student understand that that is wrong and false and don't think that way, then we don't have to worry about teaching them don't say that. Because we've gotten to the root of the issue, the heart of the problem, which is the thought pattern. So let's look at it. What I want to say, there you go. Rearrange your thoughts. I don't have the clicker, so I don't know where we are. Y'all preach the sermon from back there, and I'll just follow along, okay? Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there is anything excellent or praiseworthy, then I want you to think about these things. And look at the first word Paul says, finally. And Paul is writing a very personal letter to the Philippians. This is a very personal letter. I know it's in the Bible, okay? I know it is. And I want you to see that. It's in the Bible. But I want to help us with our understanding. It's like as if I were sitting down and I was going to say, Spencer, I want to share some things with you that are personal. So I'm going to shoot you an email this week, okay? I just want to share my heart with you. And so I sit down behind the keyboard, or I call the scribe into my office. So I sit behind the keyboard and I hammer out a letter, or an email rather, to Spencer. Or maybe I go old school and I actually do a letter and use pens and get the quill out and everything and write it, you know? And so that's what Paul is doing. He's writing something very personal to the church at Philippi, and he says this, finally. In other words, I want you to pay close attention right here. I want you to kind of dial in and zoom in on what I'm trying to say. These are my concluding remarks. You know, sometimes I like to watch speeches. A good speech. There's a website called TED. Some of you are familiar with TED. Some really good speeches on TED. And then there's some great speeches, MLK speech. I didn't do it last year. I think the year before I sat down and watched it on January 19th, I think is when it was. Whenever it was. But, you know, there are some really powerful speeches out there. But you can always tell when a speaker is getting to the end of a speech. Because he'll use a word like this. He'll say, finally. That's what Paul is doing. He's saying, okay, I want you to listen to what I'm saying here. I want to talk about your thoughts. I want you to reflect on these kind of things. I want to make an appeal to you, a personal appeal, brothers and sisters, that this isn't some kind of theory. This isn't some kind of, you know, Greek philosophy that I'm just kind of throwing out there and see if it hits, if it's like spaghetti on a wall and it sticks. That's not what I'm doing. Paul is saying you can count on this right here. You can count on this. In fact, let's take it for a moment, and I don't have it done this way, but let's go to the very end. Think about such things, and let's just start from the end. So let me preach this passage of Scripture from the end to the beginning. Think about these things. Think about what things? Think about things that are true, because these are the things that you can count on. Patrice, thank you for giving me control. So y'all don't want to preach anymore, huh? He's got a laser. Just kidding. Sorry, I didn't mean to like ruin your eyesight or anything. Think about these things. I want you to think on these things. And Patrice has, as a child, she shared this with me a few years ago, probably not even that long. As a child, she learned this passage, and she learned it as the Philippian Frisk. And who was it that taught you that? Karen? Sue. Okay, as a girls' ministry student, she learned this passage, and it's always stuck with me when I remember maybe we were talking with someone else, and she mentioned the Philippian Frisk. And so I want to ask you to think about the Philippian Frisk. You know what a frisk is? It means to search for something concealed. Search for something concealed. So in our thoughts, we want to search for things that are concealed. And the way that we do that when we have this thought is that we take these things right here and we kind of frisk them down. And we say, well, wait a second, does that seem true? Does that seem true? True means truthfulness, or I'm just going to kind of give you a brief sketch of each one of these. True is truthful. Whatever is means, he says, what is true? It means everything. So search everything and see if it's true. See if it's dependable. If it's reliable. If it's honest. If it's not phony. If it's not imaginary. It's actually real. It's true. It's tangible. Is that thought tangible? Is that worry tangible? Is that sense of anxiety, is it tangible? Or is it perhaps not true? And if it's not true, then it goes away. Jesus dealt with this in John chapter 4, the woman caught in adultery. He said, the fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said, is quite true. And so Jesus was dealing with something that was factual. It was not hypothetical. So you need to frisk. We need to frisk our thoughts. I say you, we. We need to frisk our thoughts with what is true. And then the second one is what is noble. In other words, what is worthy of respect or honor? Is that an honorable thought? Is that a respectful thought? And if it's not a respectful or an honorable thought, then we dismiss it. What is right? According to God's standards, is this just? Is this accurate? Is this right? Is it pure? In other words, is it holy or is it wholesome? Is it pure from every fault? Is it not tainted in any way? There's no mixture of something else going on in that thought. Because, listen, careful, our thoughts lead to our choices, which lead to change. And change is all around us. And we have choices to make. But what we do with our thoughts at the initial outset of that is going to set us up or bring us down. What is lovely? Paul says, what is lovely? In other words, what is pleasing? And the Greek word here is actually prosphilis, which it has that Greek word, if you've heard of Philadelphia, it's where they get their name, brotherly love. It's a brotherly love, the city of brotherly love. Prosphilis. So pros is a Greek word that means toward. So when you think about love, does that thought lead me toward love? or does it kind of pull me away? What is admirable? In other words, what is praiseworthy or attractive? It won't cause offense, or you won't be offended by it. It's going to be positive and constructive rather than negative and destructive. It's a good way to think about it right there. If I sit here and I entertain this thought, is this going to be constructive or destructive? Is it going to build up or tear down? So as I'm thinking through these things, I'm frisking them down with this. I'm looking for anything concealed. And then finally, where am I at? Excellent and praiseworthy. Worthy of praising God. Morally excellent, in other words. So we have this choice in life when we have these thoughts. I want to talk about our first thoughts. When you and I hear of a situation, the enemy will plant thoughts in your head. He will work diligently to take the train and move it off the tracks. Because if he can move you off the tracks, he can derail you. The enemy is at work. I want you to understand there is a very real enemy who wants to bring your family down. There is a very real enemy that wants to bring this church down. I know that. And you know that. He can't do it. This is where I begin. First thoughts. When I hear, when I think, maybe just something that I think about. Y'all, come on now. I know I'm not the only one. You have these thoughts and you're like, I don't know, is that God or not? Well, here's a way to search to see if there's anything concealed. And so Paul wraps it up and he comes back. Let me go. Think about these things. All of those right there. I want you to think about. In other words, I want you to meditate. I don't want it just to be a casual kind of, I'm over it. Moving on. It's not superficial. It's careful evaluation and understanding. You know, if I go to the doctor and I have something going on medically, and at first, let's say I go and I see Donna, and Donna says, well, Rick, it sounds like it could be this or that, but I'm not sure. So what we're going to do is we're going to do this test and we're going to do that test and find out. So I go and we spend lots of money on tests and we come back and Donna says, you know what, Rick, that's not showing what I thought it was going to show, so let's go through a couple more tests. And y'all, we've done this. We've all had to go through this. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. But we go through all of these procedures and we're trying to get to an understanding of what is actually going on. Let me say that one more time. We're trying to get to an understanding of what is actually going on. What is really happening here. And so what we do is we go through this series of tests to try to see if it will reveal something, to see if there is something concealed. And Paul is giving us a pattern right here for our thoughts. And this is the pattern. I want you to run these tests. These are the tests I want you to run. I want you to see if it's true. I want you to see if it's pure, if it's just, if it's lovely, if it's admirable, if it's noble, if it's excellent, if it's praiseworthy. I want you to run this battery of tests through your thought life, because what you're thinking is going to affect the choices that you make in this life. Now, I said this a few weeks ago, actually a few months ago, and I don't even remember which series it was in I was preaching, but I was talking about if you begin to believe a lie, you begin to live in the culture of that lie. And as I've thought about that and just kind of looked at life as a whole, I've realized that is so true. When you believe a lie, if I believe this, then I begin to live in the culture of that thing. And it begins to filter everything. I make decisions about this. I make decisions about this. I make decisions about that. I make decisions about them. But if we believe the truth, that we can live in the culture of the truth. And so Paul gives us a really good lens right here. And he challenges us to rearrange our thoughts so that what we think is not automatically the negative or the bad, but it's the, what does God say about it? Let me frisk this thing down and make sure that I'm understanding it correctly. The second point I want to make, and I'm going to move through these last three real quickly. Rearrange thoughts pave the way. Paul makes it clear, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, whatever you learned, received, or heard from me, or if you've seen it in me, then put it into practice. I love what Paul is saying here because Paul is pretty gutsy, and I want to live my life in a way that I can stand before this congregation or anybody else and say, whatever you see in me, imitate me. That's a heavy statement because I know I missed the mark. Paul is that confident in his leadership. Paul is that confident in his relationship with God. He says, whatever you see in me, don't worry about it. You follow the example I'm laying out before you. Men, give me your eyes for a second. I would love to see us men live our lives in such a way. There's never a doubt. You see what I'm doing here, son? You see how I'm living, sweetheart? Yeah. Walk like I'm walking. That's New Testament. That's being a disciple of Jesus. And men, I want to challenge us to rise up, as Paul is saying here, so that with confidence we can say to our wives, so that we can say to the ministries that we lead, we can say to our children, we can say to our coworkers, yeah, the way I'm walking this thing out, I want you to walk it out just like me. Ladies, the same thing. You're not off the hook. The example that I'm setting before you, because I'm frisking every thought down, because if I'm thinking right, then I'm doing right. Amen, Rick. Thank you. Give me an amen, Bob. Buy an amen. If I'm thinking right, then I'm doing right. Because my thinking is going to affect my choices, and my choices will affect the change that I live. So when I'm thinking right, I'm doing right. If I'm thinking wrong, thank you, sir. If I'm thinking wrong, then I'm doing wrong. Put it into practice. This is a way of life. So out of those two things, I want to give you two more points. I already covered that. I want to challenge you to change the way you think about your Creator, and I need to move quickly. Change the way you think about your Creator. A.W. Tozer, you know, a lot of you know him as a writer, a great writer, he's just a good writer. He writes this in one of his books. He says, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. So if God is mad at me, if that's the first thing that comes into my mind, then I live my life out of that fear. If God is absent from me, then I live my life in this kind of vague fog, searching for answers. You have the choice in how you think about God. Is he sovereign? Is he good? Is he loving? Tozer writes, he says, a low view of God destroys the gospel for all who hold them. A low view of God destroys the gospel. It's your choice because you and I will face situations in life when things are just stripped away from us. When it seems like in Uzzah's life, like I was talking about, the wheels are falling off. We all face those times. When life, it seems like the wheels are just falling off and everything is stripped away and I might lose my job or I might, and see, even that is how I'm thinking. I might. There's no life in that. I'm not sovereign. If I live in the culture of I might, then I'm really just saying, God, I got this. You're good. Go on. So when we hit that point in our life when the wheels are falling off, the view of God that we have at that point in time, it really quickly rises to the top. Tozer goes on to write in one of his books, he talks about how in the American church in particular, that it seems like we have reduced the view of God to so low that we don't hold a high view of God anymore. What is a high, what do you mean when you say high view of God? I mean, do we understand that He is really sovereign, that He is really creator, that He is to be totally feared and revered and held in awe by us, that He created me? And just like Uzzah, if I reach out and I try to touch the presence of the Lord in a way that's unworthy, boom, I could be down. Yes. Don't think it can happen. Read New Testament, Acts chapter 5. So do I live my life in an understanding of where God, you are really, I just hold you in such high view. You are above and supreme. You are creator. You are almighty. You are sovereign. You are, or is it just like, hey God, you're my buddy. Jesus and me, we hanging out on Friday night. Yes, He's Abba. Yes, He's Daddy. But may we never lose sight of the fact that He is sovereign, supreme, almighty God. And when we hit that point in our life where the wheels fall off, it quickly reveals to us how we see God. Is He just down here? Because listen, guys, I don't want to serve a God down here. I'm going to throw up my offering. I'm going to throw an extra 20 in the plate and see if He comes through for me this week. What? What? No. He owns everything. If he says to me or my wife, either one of us, I want you to empty your checking account this week. I want you to empty your savings account this week. Everything you've got saved up for retirement, yeah, write it. Am I willing to do that? I want to be. I am. And I will. If He says do that, I will do that. I don't want a God that I can just tip a 20 and hope He comes through for me this week at work with that interview or that eval that I've got coming up due. Change the way we think about our Creator. And then finally, change the way. Oh, let me go back to this quote. This one. Everything about our lives, our attitudes, motives, desires, actions, and even our words is influenced by our view of God. That's a great statement by Bill Bright. Everything. Let me back up. How I view God will influence the way I lead this church. How I view God will influence how I lead my family. How I view God will influence the way I raise my daughter. How I view God will influence what I decide to go order to eat and drink at a restaurant. How I view God will influence everything in my life. Finally, we need to change the way we think about His creation. Change the way you think about the Creator, and then change the way you think about His creation. And what I'm talking about there is not the earth, although I love the earth. I'm talking about you and I. I'm His creation. I need to change the way I think about me. My Father loves me. I want to say that to you this morning. If you're in this church and you haven't heard that in a long time, I want you to know that God loves you. And you're never too far from Him. He loves you. And I just believe, and maybe this is too simple, but I just believe that you're here not on accident, but on assignment. That God says, you know what? I want to just arrange things at work and with the family and with the car so that you're here today. I've seen God in the past. I've just seen Him do it too many times where I've been in the right place at the right time to meet the right person or receive the right whatever. So I want to say it to this side. God loves you this morning. Wherever you are in life, you just need to know that God loves you. And He's not mad. He's not mad at you. He's full of grace. He's full of truth. You get them both. Because truth helps us live in that grace. And grace helps us live in that truth. He loves you, and He's for you. So I want to ask you to change the way you think about yourself. And then I want to ask you to change the way you think about others. Your family, your enemies, Jesus really, you know, he messed up when he said, bless those who persecute you. No, he didn't. He knew exactly what he was saying. He didn't mess up. It makes it hard on us, though, sometimes, doesn't it? Those people that are against us in the workforce, the family that we're estranged from. There's division in the house. There's division with the in-laws. There's division with the outlaws. That's my family. Never mind. I'm not going to end this necessarily with an altar call. I just want to make an appeal to you. Take your thoughts captive. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 talks about taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Take everything. Here's what that means. I'm so glad Ben left this. I think it was Ben. Hey, this is a Cy Robertson coffee cup. So just for a minute. Awesome. I just want you to see this as a thought. This is a thought. See, this is a container, and there's something inside of it. And inside of that is a thought. Is this Ben's? Okay. So with this thought, this is what I have to do. I have to say, hey, thought. I have to say, hey. See, that works out perfectly. Hey, Jesus is Lord. You come down here. You're at the cross. You're at the cross. Hey, that thought right there, hey, Jesus is Lord. Hey, that thought right there, that worry, hey, I'm going to take that thought captive, and I'm going to say Jesus is Lord over that thought. Amen. Jesus, you rule and reign. You've got seniority. You've got lordship over that thought. I'm just going to take every thought that I have, put it right down there. Jesus, you rule and reign over that thing. Because if I try to do it, I'm going to mess it up. And I'm going to live in worry. As I want to say to us, Mountain Gap, first thoughts, the first thought, let's just make it a practice this week. We go through this week. The first thoughts, Jesus, your Lord. Karen, come up and play for us. And I want to pray in just a moment. You know, every relationship with God ends up somewhere. Not all of them end up somewhere on purpose. Every relationship with people ends up somewhere. But they don't all end up somewhere on purpose. And every relationship with yourself, how you see yourself. I've said it a million times, not literally, but a lot. You're created in the image of God. There's intrinsic value and worth in your life. God wouldn't send his son to die for you if you were a waste. You're not a waste. You count. You matter. The death of Jesus applies as much to your life as it does to my life. So every relationship with yourself, how you view yourself, it ends up somewhere. But not all of them end up somewhere on purpose. And if we can go back this week and we can begin to frisk down our thoughts, say, Jesus, I just need you to help me with this thought. Is it true, lovely, noble, right, pure, just, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy? And if when I'm done frisking that thought down, I see that there was something concealed in that, that thought goes in lockdown. It doesn't belong to me anymore. I'm not going to own it. I'm not going to live it. I have a choice. But before I have a choice, I have a thought. Let's stand together. I just realized so keenly aware that some of us wrestle with our thoughts. And it can run the whole gamut. It can be I'm too good. Or I could sing better than so-and-so who's up there singing. That's a thought that you don't need to wrestle with. There's no life in that. It can be, well, I'm worried about my job. Or whatever, fill in the blank. Men, we wrestle with thoughts. Women, we wrestle with thoughts, insecurity, impurity. Let's take all of these thoughts. Let's frisk them down. Oh, I turned it off. According to Philippians 4:8. And let's teach those thoughts. That sounds like it's a kid on a playground. But let's teach those thoughts who's Lord. Let's just choose. Jesus is Lord over these thoughts. Jesus is Lord over this way of thinking. Jesus is Lord over this situation at work. Jesus is Lord over this situation at home. Jesus is Lord over this situation at church. We're going to meet in here for 2, 3, 4 weeks. Maybe, who knows? Jesus is Lord. Some of you came and you said, how are you doing? I'm doing great. Because God's not up in heaven going, uh-oh, what are we going to do, Mountain Gap? God said, hey, plan B. I'm so thankful. The Lord is sovereign. I don't have to wrestle. I don't have to worry. I don't have to be Lord. I guess that's the end. That's the kind of the bottom line, Johnny. I don't have to be Lord. I just have to trust Him. So I want to ask you just to be real honest with me. Maybe be honest with yourself. What are you wrestling with? I'm going to ask Karen in just a moment to sing this song that she's playing. I Surrender All. I think that's right, is it? No?
Change My Heart.
Change My Heart. That'll work too. I heard a few notes and I thought it was something else. And as she's singing just for a couple of minutes, I don't even care if you put up a hand. I'm not going to ask you to put up a hand. Because I don't need you to respond to my... I'm not looking for kudos or anything else. I just want to ask you to be honest before the Lord. And say, Lord, I'm struggling or I'm wrestling with this thought. And whatever it is. It could be anxious thoughts. It could be depression. It could be worry. Folks, I just want to ask you. Just in the presence of the Lord. Cry out to Him in this moment. And just say, Jesus, You're Lord over those thoughts. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Father, in these moments, God, I ask You, search our heart, O God, and then change our heart, O God. Search our mind and then change our mind. And Father, give us, I just pray for revelation of the Holy Spirit. Where we're wrestling or struggling with thoughts that we don't need to wrestle with anymore. That everything that is outside of our control, that we would just come to a place completely in Christ where we say, here it is, Jesus. You are Lord over that thing. You are Lord over that thought. You are Lord over that worry. You are Lord over everything. And I turn it over to You now in the name of Jesus. So the next few moments, as she's singing, will you just do that? You just cry out to Him. You pray. No one leave just yet.